Hey everybody, my name is Matt Key and this is the Marvel Movie News. Sit right there because today we're talking about Deadpool. We're talking about the preview that was in front of Logan that was also Deadpool. And we're talking about X-Men and X-Force and Inhumans and Thor Ragnarok. And stay right there because we're going to be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talks Marvel Movie News.
Every week.
I do, you know?
Well, it's pretty good.
It's because you said Deadpool 8 times, and I'm going to agree with you.
That's it. That's
you could just literally repeat word Deadpool, and I'd be like, oh.
Oh, you mean this
what
guy?
A great show.
You mean this guy?
Matt is running the game today.
We have Deadpool just, like 8 times on your
I'm just prepared at all. I mean, we didn't get to talk about a certain thing last week.
Yeah, we're going to start this week. Don't worry.
It was haunting me for a week and haunted all of our viewers, each and every one of you. I know it haunted you as well. So welcome to my redemption show. Matt Key's here too, but this is really about Deadpool.
Isn't it always about Deadpool?
With
in
Koi,
my mind, yes.
I got a Deadpool jacket right over there. I didn't get the memo. Should I put that on?
If you're cold, or if you want to look awesome.
Those are both important things.
We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 122, right?
122.
Yeah. Coming to you live from the desolate planet of Sakaar.
Ooh. It's fitting for the show.
I thought
today.
So. That was a good pull for you. Thank you, Oliver.
Damn it, I'm going to be the first one to die.
On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. On Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. On Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And if you guys will tweet a link out to our show telling everyone about our live chat and that they can come watch us live and that we can answer their questions live because we have two people watching the live chat. Mm. Hydra Steve, who's engineering the show today, will retweet you from the booth.
Yay.
So there's that. That's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, he's making a comeback.
Yeah, he's making a comeback, that Hydra Steve.
I want to give credit like a Hydra. To the Hydra Steve Hydra Life joke before the show.
That was Hydra Steve, Hydra Wife, Hydra Steve, Hydra Wife. Yeah, I was pretty proud of that
one. The internet needed it. I wanted to share it with them, and it was full credit to Maggie. It was some gold. It's good.
I come up with it from time to time.
He's a yes and champion.
Well, I did do improv for a while. I was never good at it, but I do know the skill. What?
How could you objectively know a skill? All right, I'm just saying.
I know the basics of yes and listening, like... doing your best to yes and like,
I know how to do something I'm not good at. Yep, seems like exactly. A very counterintuitive way.
Well, I'm glad you're kind of explaining yes and for people that are watching that probably don't know what yes and is.
Those two words are very confusing to put together.
Yes and.
And yes?
Yes.
No, yes and.
And?
Yeah. I'd also like to point out that I know how to do this show. Doesn't mean I'm good at it.
I mean, the intro growing every week.
No, it's really not. Cool. It's a year now, and I'm still awful at it. But we've only been doing the intro for like a year. Koi just gave me two fingers saying, no, it's just 2 years. And it's like, no, I think we've only been doing the intro for a year. And even this week, I whimpered at the end of it. Like,
why don't you make him do it?
That's my favorite part. That's why he doesn't let me do it, because I just talk about Deadpool the whole time.
This week, we're not talking about Deadpool, but we should be talking about Deadpool, right?
It's quality control, really.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. My name is Matt Key. I'm at the Matt Key on the Twitter. You can also find me on Screen Junkies from time to time and doing the Wednesday Club over at Geek and Sundry's Twitch channel. We are not joined by Markia. She is actually, she's busy today. She's got a couple other jobs that she had to attend to. But we do have Koi Jandreau at Koyjandreau. Thank you.
That's true. On Twitter and Instagram and my mom in the live chat. Hi, Mom.
Hey, Stephanie. Mama Jandreau. And we also have with us the wonderful, the effervescent April Walling.
Oh, effervescent. I'm sorry, I did shower this morning.
Effervescent's a compliment. tell us about yourself. You have a book.
I have a book called 13 Offerings on Amazon.
Amazing.
It's an anthology novel. I do a podcast called One More Drink podcast, where we talk about life, the universe, and everything nerdy.
Nice.
That is on all the various social medias and whatnot.
Does it involve alcohol in any way?
Yes, it
does.
Okay.
Yes, that's my kind of podcast.
We pretty much drink, and it gets progressively crazier as the podcast goes on.
and where can we find that?
We can find that on iTunes.
One more drink.
One more drink on iTunes, or one more drink pod at Twitter, and one more drink podcast on Instagram, I believe.
How exciting.
I'm great at this. I'm great at telling.
I should figure out this Instagram thing.
Yeah. I'm like, where is it? Plug. Shit, I don't
know. Internet?
We also have Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer. Colt, I need to talk to you real quick. I don't know if you saw, but Adam Holovic, I'm speaking directly to you now, Cole. Adam. Adam Holovic, your roommate, by the way, finally got me your gift. That gift will be on the set of the Geek and Sundry show now, because I needed a Doctor Strange over there, so now I have a Doctor Strange. He got me this, but the movie version of it.
Oh, that's rad. Yeah, that's cool.
And by the way, he's the first one to have gotten me that gift. He got it for me last July. I just now got it, though.
Hey, you got it.
That's
all that ends with.
Yeah. So anyway, cool. Thank you. I forgot to thank you for it last week. There it is. All right, let's move. You know, we're like 17 minutes into the show. Maybe we should talk about Marvel.
Deadpool. Yeah.
First, do we want to do a random book poll?
Okay.
Do you want to do that? Just like pick up the book and turn to a random page and tell.
So we decided betwixt episodes that this would be a fun little journey through Marvel, and we are going to open to a random page and read a passage from the book.
So for those of you on iTunes, we have a big book. I totally forgot the name of the fan.
Dallas Stumler.
Dallas Stumler sent us this book a couple weeks ago, and we've had it sitting here for a couple weeks, but I wanted to use it.
So I'm thinking every page is very dense, so I'm going to I'm going to pick a random a random passage from a random page.
Perfect. Pick a random psalm.
But I picked Jonah Jameson, which seems very fitting for the first.
Jonah Jameson,
for the first poll. I'm going to say, J. Jonah Jameson began his career in journalism while he was still in high school, working as a part-time copy boy for New York's prestigious Daily Bugle newspaper. The son of a war hero, he obtained first-hand experience of conflict when he served as a war correspondent in Europe during World War II. Jameson later spent 3 years covering the Korean War, during which time Joan, his first wife and mother of his son John, was tragically killed by a masked mugger, sparking a lifelong distrust of mask wearers, be they villain or hero.
Huh.
Fun fact about J. Jonah Jameson.
Can I tell you another random fact about J. Jonah Jameson? He was originally, the character likeness is in the first few comics is based on Stan Lee.
Fun fact.
Steve Ditko needed a subject to embody J. Jonah Jameson, who Stan Lee had created and writing it. And he's like, I just need a guy who like hunches over his computer and yells at people all day. Oh wait, I know who that guy is. So the early drawings of J. Jonah Jameson and the early Spider-Man.
I like it
a lot. Like
Stanley. J. Jonah is Stan Lee, and I think the very first picture you ever have of him, he's like, he's this, and that's what Ditko would look out of his office.
That's fantastic.
Stan Lee,
The Watcher.
J. Jonah
is
everywhere.
Yeah, he's everywhere. He's the Watcher.
He's meta.
Yeah. All right, so we did the random book. Let's get the Deadpool 2 news, and then we need to talk about the trailer, the little preview that Logan did.
Uh-huh.
Deadpool 2, big news, fun news, exciting news. They've cast Domino. There's been a lot of rumors about who she was going to be since last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rumor mill has been, like, just cranking the rumor flower out. But we've got confirmation now from multiple sources, including Ryan Reynolds, who named her himself... I was getting the pronouns mixed up. Named her himself on his Twitter using Domino's, which is like the most confusing way to say it. Like, it took me at least a good 25 minutes.
I guess there's a name in there.
I know it's Zazie, but I'm not seeing Zazie. And like, I know I should. I see a Z and an A. Anyway, she is playing Domino. So, yeah.
She is fantastic on Atlanta.
Yeah, I've still got to see Atlanta.
It is arguably the best new show since...
I've heard it's great.
See, Stranger Things also have... So Stranger Things and Atlanta, I think, are the best new shows since Breaking Bad, like, almost, like, what, 8 years ago started, so...
That picture's amazing.
And that's the announcement tweet, which is some gold, that is.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited. I don't know her background beyond Atlanta, admittedly, and I won't pretend to, but I know that in Atlanta, she was fantastic and kept up with, like, a brilliant ensemble cast, so it sold.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think she's also, like, does comedy and stuff like that, so she'll be perfect for the... For this, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine they cast poorly, and I've seen her do great work on one thing, so I'm stoked, and that announcement is fantastic.
So, Domino, real quick, I believe her real name, Nina Thurman, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Nina Thurman? She has a luck probability... altering powers.
She's a pretty damn cool power, actually. Yeah. Although she can't really control it, like she has to be actively involved, but it usually works in her favor. Yeah,
like it never works against her. So it's basically her power is that she's extremely lucky.
Man, I wish I had that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool power. So if she it's one of those things where if she gets knocked off of a building, the luckiest thing that could happen for her would be like a plane flying by to catch her on the wing, or like a
suddenly the big bird from Lord of the Rings comes
like a giant eagle just all of a sudden exists.
Where'd you come from? You don't even exist in this
universe.
Which is
gonna be so much fun to play with in the weird universe of Deadpool movies. They've like set up such a wonky universe in the X-Men-ish universe. It'll be fun to have a character that's so out of left field.
Yeah,
and I'm excited about these domino effects that are gonna be happening.
But she's also like an expert fighter and marksman and tactician. Like she's a great soldier, like on par with Cable, except she's a bit more of like a shadowy assassin than Cable is. Cable is very much like rush in, shoot everybody. Domino is very much climb the rafters, set up a sniper's nest, and go to town. You know, so
I think it's good to have that kind of character because everybody Deadpool seems very balls to the wall, one might say.
Yeah,
and that's what's fun about X-Force is like you've got this very varied team that really works well together, but individually they all have such different fighting styles. And Deadpool 2 will lead into X-Force beautifully, I think, because of this like ramping up, this escalation between the first film and second film. Like just adding Cable adds an element, but then adding Domino on top of that, it'll make a very natural progression where like Avengers worked because they had so much set up. Deadpool really just is gonna have Deadpool 1, 2 X-Force, and I think it's gonna be fine.
I like it.
New mutants are probably in there somewhere is my guess.
I'm just wondering how much that'll be. We'll see.
My guess is Deadpool 2 will go into New Mutants, or New Mutants will feed into Deadpool 2, one of the two of those. I wonder if I can think two anymore. And then we'll get X-Force. I think like they'll probably take
a character
New Mutants and combine it with Deadpool 2 and create New Mutants. That's exciting. Or X-Force, it's my guess.
Killing Fox, killing it.
All right, cool. Well, that's all the news we've got today. Sorry we couldn't get to Logan.
Well, it's almost like there was an amazing trailer in front of Logan that we didn't talk about last week.
We didn't have time. Last week was a big week, but now I'm making a joke, so there is a leeway into you talking about it.
What is bigger than 3 minutes, as directed by the director of Deadpool 2, starring Ryan Reynolds' butt?
Yes, that was a good one.
In a phone booth with lovely amount of Easter eggs, and it felt in that 3 minutes I was very critical of tonality changing because Tim Miller was given a lot of leash. Like he was a first time director, but the movie cost 17 cents, so they let him have fun.
They let him have
This like that set felt like such a comic book, and like the style of shooting, the frames, I mean, obviously the comedy is going to be similar because we've got the same writing team plus Drew Dare, who loves comics. But the directing, I didn't know was going to happen. I love John Wick, and I love John Wick too. The action is spectacular, but it couldn't just look like an action movie.
Yeah,
it didn't. It was a comic book. Like, it was...
It was great.
The Nathan Summers is coming joke, written on the side. The Firefly in the background. The song, like...
So wait, let me ask you this. Firefly in the background, was that for Marina Baccarin? Or Baccarin? However
that
you pronounce
it?
That
was your theory.
Or...
I was saying, I hope, and this is a 1% chance, Nathan Fillion's Cable is fun for me.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds and Nathan Fillion are ride or die homies. They're like friends from like Two Guys, a Girl Place, a Girl Pizza Place days. I would love that because he's got the stature. He's funny. He's like can be gruff. He's unemployed off Castle. Like he's doing movies and stuff. He popped up in another show that Santa Clarita Diet. He was in an episode. Okay. Nathan Fillion would be a great Cable and his show's off.
You seriously just blew my mind.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Like, I'm just picturing that going.
I saw Firefly in the background. I was like, what is that? Because Nathan Summers is coming. Firefly in the background. I was like, Nathan? Like, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I don't even know what to say that. I'm like,
that would be pretty cool.
I love it.
My favorite Easter egg that has my little nerd heart going is that for like 3/4 of a second, as like Deadpool is running into the phone booth to change before he closes the door, you can see graffiti in the phone book, in the phone booth that just is hope, and it's underlined twice.
Yeah.
And then, like, right, like the way the plane works on the two dimensional plane of the screen, hope is here, and Nathan Summers is coming as here, but hope and Nathan Summers are both together, even though like it's really back here on the plane of the screen.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
right
it
here. So hope Nathan Summers, and I was just like, oh my god, if Cable shows up with a freaking baby in Deadpool 2, or like a little girl, and the little girl is a mutant and she's powerful, and like Deadpool and Nathan Summers are watching over a baby from the future or the past, or they're like running from oh my god, it would be so amazing. I would love that. By the way, if you don't know why I'm saying baby or Hope Summers, during the second coming events, I believe, that followed Messiah Complex. Mm-hmm. So there's a Messiah complex. All the mutants are gone. None are being born. But wait, a new baby is born somewhere in Alaska. She's a powerful mutant. Everyone in the entire world goes for her. In order to keep her safe, the X-Men give the baby to Cable and send him to the future.
The future.
But,
safekeeping.
But Bishop, I think it's Bishop, thinks that she is the reason for his destructive future. So he starts chasing after Cable. And Cable and Hope just have to keep traveling more and more and more and more into the future to stay away from it's
as you might imagine.
And then they finally return to the past.
Or continuity the in the comics is just as tight as it is in the movies because of this time traveling debacle. Yeah. At least they have an excuse, unlike Days of Future Past turning into Apocalypse. But the ramifications of that 3 minutes is a great sign for the director handling the comedy.
It was great.
Some people were upset about like the how dark it was, like him lying on that dead guy and not saving him. And I got some tweets like, "You didn't find this funny, did you?" And I was like, "Yo, that's Deadpool. Like, Graves' humor is getting, like, Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, it's very dark. It's depraved. It's meant to be.
It's gallows humor,
That trailer's a little more dark than the first, and that excites me in a way, because, like, the comic is very depraved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's something Deadpool would do, totally. Just it was like, so funny. Well, might as well just lay
just
back.
Takes, just love the cherries.
Yeah.
Like, there was so many moments, and it was just, it kept, I don't know, I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great.
The rumor, also, while we're talking about Cable, is that David K. Harbour of Stranger Things fame is up for Cable. Yeah. Now, the Fillion thing is just me. I haven't heard anything about this. That's just me hoping.
So it's not Kojandro confirmed?
It's not. It's Matt Key confirms that Kojandro thinks.
Cable. Yeah, I can confirm that you would want this. Yeah, I can't confirm that.
That's the honest answer. But now, David Harbour is so good. Mm-hmm. And he has that stoicism. He has the build. He has the... I could see him as a space cop. We've already seen him as a small town cop.
Yeah.
And he is just so good. He's been good since... Like, he had a tiny role in Newsroom with a giant ensemble cast, and he stole the show a lot. And that's hard to do on a cast like that with those, like, Aaron Sorkin-y verbs. So, I'd love that. I personally think he'd be a really strong Cable.
Okay. That was rumored a couple of weeks ago. I don't think we touched on it. Yeah, we didn't.
I think I was
on it.
Too hype.
Well, now that you got Nathan Fillion in my mind, I can't accept anything else.
Oh,
but that's like all I see now.
Everyone loves Stephen Lang. I like both of those. Personally, I like both of those more than
Stephen
Lang.
I'm sure he'd be good.
And Stephen Lang can't do it because he's locked in Avatar for the rest of his life. Because
they're going to make 92 of those that everyone is asking for.
Yeah.
I know. I can't wait for Avatar 17.
Yeah.
You guys have your tickets to Avatar Land yet? Let's go.
Can't wait. All right. Leaving Deadpool behind. I'm sorry, Coy. Do you need to leave now that we're not talking about Deadpool
anymore?
I'll
miss him, but I'll make sure he's back next week.
The X-Men TV series. First of all, we've heard rumors that it might be called Gifted. I've also seen other people say, other sites say, no, that's just kind of a placeholder name. That's actually not the name of the series, but that would be a great name. X-Men Gifted. That would be a cool name and a great nod to the Joss Whedon comic that he did, Astonishing X-Men.
I love that run.
That was a great story. If you haven't read that, go out and read Joss Whedon's run on the X-Men. I think it's only 2 trade paperbacks, so you're not too far in to the hole to get that. But you'll love.
Where are they filming this?
I don't know. I actually don't remember.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I swear I've seen transpo vehicles that have had stuff in there, like, near the set.
Yeah, I would not be surprised with what you do.
That's just me from being on set and seeing random things, and I could be something completely different.
There was Gifted Sons every year.
That was at Warner Brothers, but...
I think that the Gifted storyline would be a great soft reboot, and I keep asking for that.
Yeah, I would love that. So while we're on the subject of X-Men, Kobe Bell has been cast in this series. I'm not familiar with this gentleman. But he will play a guy named Jace Turner. Now I will fully admit, I don't know every single character that's ever been written in a comic book. I know some of the fans might expect that, but I don't. I know a lot.
Would you like to refer to the book?
Yeah, that's why we have the book. That's why we have Wikipedia. I've read a lot, but I don't have them all memorized.
With J, you said?
With that, I was like, you know what? I've never heard it. I don't remember Jace Turner. The name sounds familiar. I'm going to go look it up. Couldn't find anything on it. So I think Jace Turner is another new character made up for the show. And he's described as a weathered man who quietly wrestles with the moral ambiguities of a job that regularly requires cold-blooded, calculating efficiency on a day-to-day basis. My guess? He's one of the villains, but he's got a heart of gold. He's chasing after these kids who have mutant abilities on behalf of the government, but he's like, but why am I doing this? I don't want to be doing this. These are, like, they're just...
kids.
They're people like you and me. Like, they just happen to be born with incredible powers that scare everybody. We need to be protected, but That's my guess.
Just not so excited for this show.
I'm excited for the show.
Until he figures out he's a mutant as well.
Oh, no!
Heroes are born.
Until he discovers I'm Professor X this whole time.
I'm always excited about stuff until I actually see. I reserve full judgment for actually seeing it. So I get sad when I hear bad things about stuff I'm excited for. I'm like, speaking of bad things.
Not there yet. Not there yet. Close, but not yet. Also, Blair Redford has just been referred to as Sam since he got cast a couple weeks ago. But then, the girl's name. Natalie Allen Lind put a poster on Instagram, a picture on Instagram that had all the characters' names. We've got it pulled up right there. And lo and behold, Blair Redford is referred to as Thunderbird. Bum, bum, bum! Thunderbird.
I'm so excited there was a character in this from the comic.
Yeah. No, I'm the same.
That's just for Shiny Diver X in the live chat, who loves that I am excited for this show. That was sarcasm. She's excited for the show, and I am reluctant.
So
that's an Indian-based, Native American. Yeah.
He's a Native
superhero.
American. Native
is
American
he Native
superhero.
American, or is he?
I think he might be. I think he might have Native American heritage to him. Yeah. So Thunderbird, for those of you who don't know. Introduced in Giant Size X-Men number 1, and then existed in X-Men 94, 95, and maybe 96 before, spoiler alert, spoiler that's almost as old as I am, he dies.
Yeah.
He dies while fighting to, I think, free some of fellow X-Men from, like, a guy named Mesmero or something like that. And what's fun, he actually had a great death because, like, he got super mad at the villain who was flying away. And everyone's like, oh, he got away. And he's like, no, he didn't. And he, like, goes running after a jet, jumps on the jet, and, like, wrestles it. And, like, basically blows himself up. Or, like, maybe a rocket hits it. I can't remember. But he, like, dies pursuing a jet. And she's like, oh, my God.
It's pretty badass.
It's pretty badass. So, anyway, but his powers are, very basic. Super strength, super speed. And he has heightened senses. And he's, like, an incredible, like, one of the foremost trackers. Like, he can track almost anything alive. So, anyway, that's exciting news. I'm excited about it. I know you're not, but, like,
you know. I'm glad there's more content.
I got to meet Matt Nix at a party.
Very cool.
A few months ago, and he was a nice guy. And so,
wish him well.
Yeah, I wish him well. I'm
can't
excited
be excited
for
everything because that would make me just a fool. Yeah, so I can pick and choose.
True.
No, but if you like everything, then you'll have you gotta have discernible taste.
There's a difference between liking and being excited for.
Yeah,
I was excited for, but we'll get to that.
Yes, okay.
all right. Simon Kinberg teases X-Force film's dark story and confirms it will 100% feature Deadpool and Cable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, as he says. To Deadline, Deadpool 2 is going into production this year, then X-Force, which is a combination of Deadpool and Cable. They're like the Black Ops of the X-Men. They're much darker and have an R-rated decibel. I like the way he says it. Have an R-rated decibel. Because what he's saying is, I'm not promising you it's R-rated.
We're working on it.
But it has that level of, like, story need. So
yeah,
I'd love, like, a Black Hawk Down superhero movie.
Oh,
man.
Oh my god,
that movie, you know what I mean? Like,
but
that
with
movie.
Deadpool.
I love that movie, that's why
you said it's Deadpool and Black Hawk Down.
They also say he also says, when there are films that want to be raunchier, want to be darker, want to be violent or R-rated, Fox will be open to it. If we were to make an X-Force movie, that probably should be R-rated.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, makes total sense.
I'm glad that they're open to that, that they're not just stuck on the, you know, the ratings. Oh, it has to be PG-13 so that the little ones can come. And it's like, well,
we've proven that the audience has grown with the films. Yeah. And that, like, kids that were, like, 2000 was 17 years ago.
Yeah,
so
they'll come see it.
Those kids are older now. Yeah.
Lest you were four, they you're can now, handle it. Like, you know, 21 and can bring people to R-rated movies. And we were talking last week.
Yeah, I'm 21 finally.
Yeah, we did it, man. I can drink at a bar. Marquee was saying that she was, you know, like Storm R-rated and Phoenix R-rated. And I think certain things deserve the R-rating, but I think the Phoenix Saga can be done PG-13, and I think X-Force can stay R. And I think that way you get an X-Men universe that's shared but also different tones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what we really need to be focusing on, is keeping them different so we can build a separate Fox universe and a separate Marvel universe.
Layers. Yeah. Not everything's super dark,
we don't want to nolanize the universe and everything's suddenly gloomy, because after Dark Knight, I was so afraid of every superhero movie going. Because I love Dark Knight.
Yeah, they were trying for a while there, though. They were trying.
Yeah,
Dark Gritty reboot, send. Dark Gritty reboot, send.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I don't want Schumacher or anything, but I mean, come on.
What do you mean?
Oh, you said it's bright colors.
Stop with your bat nipples.
I was referring to the colors, but yes.
X-Force should be rated R. I agree.
Yeah.
And we've already talked about that, but it's nice to hear Simon Kinberg, the producer and writer behind this whole kind of X-Men universe, is kind of confirming that's going to happen. Captain Marvel, not really any big news, but it's kind of exciting to think about. Thanks to My Entertainment World. My Entertainment World is kind of like a production website for like future productions. So let's say you work in Hollywood and you're like, man, I sure could use a job on a set. I wonder what sets are going to, like, what movies are going to be filming soon. Yeah, write this down, April. I wonder what films are going to be shooting soon, or TV shows, or things going into production. Oh, looky there. Captain Marvel's going into production January 8th of 2018. I wonder who the assistant director is going to be, or the production manager, so I can contact them and give them my resume and see if I can get in on that set action. So that's what this website is. And according to them, January 8th, 2018 is the official start of production for Captain Marvel. So
excellent.
That would mean that probably sometime before Comic-Con, we're going to have to hear about a director and the rest of the, maybe some of the rest of the cast. Probably at Comic-Con, we'll get, well, if they're even there, because we've got D23. But D23 this year is actually before Comic-Con, so we may find out like early July.
I think we'll get our first official still. That's what I think.
But they've
Captain
been...
Marvel?
I think we'll get an image of her as
concept art.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
We'll probably get concept art.
I think we'll see her
art,
with the mohawk and stuff.
Yeah.
But they seem to be saving all of their Star Wars stuff for D23, but all the Marvel stuff still seems to be very Comic-Con, because it's comic. They still consider it comic-based. So they usually try to make their appearances and stuff in Hall H, because it's a guaranteed
huge audience. Speaking of Comic-Con and Hall H, you are like one of the top volunteers.
Yes, there's six of us that run that room.
How long have you been doing it?
Oh, over 15 years now. I've been volunteering with Comic-Con longer than Hall H has actually existed.
That's
so you've been volunteering with them since you were 5, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, I'm that
we're
young.
We're all freshly
Thank
21
you.
This yes. year, you guys. We all did it.
I didn't even know you could volunteer at such a young age.
It's crazy.
Oh, no, we have con babies. They're con babies.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. But yeah, 17. it's exciting because like you get to see all that great stuff in Hall H for the last few years. You were in there when they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring Iron Man. And everyone's like, oh, my God, are you going to do Avengers? I don't know. Maybe.
I was there before they started doing all of these big things. It's like, amazing. It was 6CDF, and then they went to Ballroom 20, and that was like the big room to get into.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, my God, we can't handle all the movie stars and stuff that are coming in. It's insane. So now we're going to do Hall H, which is basically they just siphoned off a section of the floor.
Yeah.
It's massive. Landed jet in there.
It
and
is.
So now
people
sleep for the entire weekend trying to get into that room. And I'm like, I always walk by that line going, oh God, I'm so sorry.
I've done the line once, and I've done the hey, can we figure this out once, and both times I was like, the scope of this is just shocking.
Oh yeah. It's a bit nuts.
And Ballroom 20 is amazing as well. Like, that's where I saw the Breaking Bad panel.
Well, that's where they have all the big TV stuff in there.
Breaking Bad
panel
Ballroom 20
stuff is typically,
I try to
except
get out
for, like,
of
Game
age
of Thrones.
I try to get out of age sometimes to see things in 20, and it's just not gonna happen.
I'm excited for this year's announcements. It's around the bend.
Right around the bend. Let's keep moving. Inhumans, we got our first look. I'm legitimately excited for this.
Yes.
Because I love the Inhumans. Mm-hmm. Unironically, I know you have problems with
them. Dude, the casting,
them.
Though. Ken Lung and...
The casting is great.
Everyone cast. Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
How do you feel about the Inhumans, April?
Okay, so the comic books, I have only read, like, I'd say, like, the first, like, several issues. Mm-hmm. I love Medusa. I've also seen them pop up, obviously, in other things. Like, you know, they popped up with, Guardians of the Galaxy at one point, didn't they? I thought
probably.
There was, like, a little crossover
and
thing.
I mean, they've had, like, the War of Kings and all that stuff. Yeah.
So I read some of that stuff. I, of course, love Medusa. The Medusa tattoo on my back, but not of that character, Medusa herself, the ancient Gorgon.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited about that. And the girl that they cast for Medusa, I really like her face. Like, I really like that. Because you know that hair is going to be, like, mostly CG. So I'm hoping that
they don't have...
Yeah. I'm hoping it's going to be, like, practical.
Control,
I just want it to be some
hair.
Practical and then CG, so that it doesn't just look like this big, crazy thing growing off of her.
Yeah.
But...
We'll see what happens, how they shape that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the casting for Deadbolt. Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Sorry. My bad.
Deadpool on
very
the
very safe door.
Yeah, because we've been talking
in,
about
good,
Deadpool. My bad. Deadbolt. I was excited about him because I just watched a little movie called Mr. Right. with Sam Rockwell. And,
yeah, is he in that?
Yeah,
he's the big bad.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah, he's great.
That's Landis's
nepotism
movie, right?
And all that. With me loving Max, I do agree that I think that that is part of why I love that man, because Max is Mr. Right is so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, so Anna Kendrick's in that one too, but I he was really good in it. And it was really fun. So I'm excited about that casting.
Yeah,
and Sam Rockwell really should be in everything. Anna Kendrick too.
So the actual news that we have here is that we have our first look at Crystal.
Yes.
Crystal, the element-wielding Inhuman. I know we've got a couple different pictures. I don't know if we got all of them, but I think we have like two of her and then one of Lockjaw.
That hair is very interesting.
That's my favorite picture, and here's why. Because it shows her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And like her hair has a very unique, it's like blonde, but then she has this weird black strand of hair that runs through it and makes like this weird like kind of circle in her back, and then the bottom of her hair is black. So it's just exciting to see them doing that, because it would be so easy for Marvel Television to be like, well, that's not as necessary.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that.
I mean, honestly, when a character has like such an iconic thing to them, like I think it's smart to hang on to that. You don't necessarily have to make it exact, I think, but to hang on to, you know, the more iconic bits, I think is important for the characters.
Yeah,
but.
No, I totally agree. And again, like, they could have been like, ah, she's blonde, but, like, they did it. Like, I love that they actually did it.
They could have just been like, it's just going to be an ombre now, because that's popular.
Yeah.
Well.
And then we've got another great shot of Lockjaw. Ugh. I would watch just that show.
It's true.
Like,
it's true.
I would watch, it's Lockjaw, running through the city, teleporting people, getting their coffee, a boo ba doo boom. I would watch that. I love Lockjaw. He's one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, I'm noticing.
You but it's good.
You're a very
it's
positive good. Person. You also, enjoy things.
You also like the more obscure, so it's good to have a lot of favorites when they're like people that need exposure.
Yes,
some sort
absolutely.
Of signal boost, if you would.
Oh, that's a... I do write that show.
A little shout out to our friends across the Geek and Sundry line.
Over Geek and Sundry line, yeah. Before we get into Thor Ragnarok, we've got one more story. Beep, 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 ba-da-pow! Thanos henchman. There's a dude, so Infinity War, there's this mocap actor, motion capture, named Terry Notary. He works with, Gollum. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting that guy's name.
Oh,
all of
Andy
a sudden.
Serkis.
Andy Serkis, thank you. I always forget that dude's name.
How can you forget Andy Serkis?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I legit don't know. But he works with Andy Serkis a lot. He's worked with him especially a lot on, like, all the Planet of the Apes movies. He's been in, I think, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing a lot of mocap work on Infinity War. And we didn't know this. He was talking to Hollywood Reporter about the upcoming War for the Planet of the Apes. And the last quote that he has in that interview is, I'm working with Josh Brolin and three other actors in Avengers Infinity War. And I'm playing Josh Brolin's right-hand bad guy in the film. I can't say the name of the character, or I think Marvel would sever my head. Probably so. But I apply those same principles of what it means to drop BS and just play a character truly evil. And it's working. It's working. That's my interpretation of laughs. I didn't actually hear it.
I would actually like to hear the
It's working. It's truly working. I don't know.
It's going to be a strange movie. I didn't know Roland had such a strange...
It's truly working.
Like a weird, like...
Heavenly Star screen.
Let's... You have a theory. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You go ahead first.
Okay.
And then I'll jump in.
Okay. So my theory is, since there's four characters, and I've wanted to see that because he says it's him with Josh Brolin and three other actors. So it's Josh Brolin plus four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My guess is that they are bringing the Cull Obsidian or the Black Order.
We've talked about this before.
Into this. And I've been excited for them to do this. I thought that was one of the best things in Hickman's book was... Of course Thanos has, like...
Yeah, the four horsemen.
A posse of, like, four horsemen, basically. Like, you know, like... so he's got these massive, evil generals that go everywhere with him and help him decimate planets, and they have fun doing it. They're like, this will be great!
Sometimes you need help.
Yeah, you can't do everything.
Yeah, you can't do everything by yourself.
It gets lonely destroying things by yourself.
It's cold.
So, in the Cull Obsidian, they call themselves the Cull Obsidian, but they're also referred to as the Black Order. They have two different names. In that is a gentleman named Black Dwarf, who is basically the Hulk, but he's from space, so he's like Space Hulk. He's as strong and invulnerable as that guy. Proxima Midnight, who is stronger, faster, and meaner Gamora. These are my, like, descriptions. Like, because it's like, Proxima Midnight is really fast and strong, and she's a good fighter, but she's evil. So, stronger, faster, meaner Gamora, because our audience knows Gamora.
Yeah, it's good to give them a basis.
Exactly. Corvus Glaive, he is a master tactician, and he is immortal so long as he holds his glaive. That's the glaive there. Mm. So he's hyper-intelligent, like, and just ruthless in his thinking. He's like, it'll wipe out an entire city. It'll be great. Like, he's that kind of guy. And as long as he holds the glaive, immortal. And then my favorite is Ebony Maw. Just look at how creepy this guy is.
Yeah.
I love this guy. And his
you
power...
You just picture him going like this.
Yes, yes. Listen to my words. So
he's
his...
in Dexter's Laboratory now?
Yes, yes. Listen to my words.
Shouldn't they all be, though?
But his name is Ebony Maw, and he is... He's not very powerful. It's not like he could punch me and it wouldn't hurt. He's that kind of like, oh, you're hurting me. But he could persuade me. He's like Purple Man level of persuasion.
Oh.
But it's not
he's
like
almost kind of purple there, looks.
Yeah. But it's really not the same power. He like actually persuades you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like he speaks to you in very poetic ways, and he's almost a combination of Purple Man and Karnak.
Like, tricks your brain into going along with
he knows exactly what to say to you to get you to do what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
No
and
matter
you think
what,
it's your
every
own
single
idea.
Time, and you think it's your own idea.
It's not like you're in there watching from the outside, I'm trapped.
Yeah, he can appear basically invisible, so like you don't even know he's whispering in your ear. It's that kind of thing.
Awful.
Like, and I think maybe he even has like low level telepathy where he can be like, I'm in your head. This is what you should be doing. Like, he's that. So pretty here's good. How powerful he is. So when Thanos invades Earth during the Infinity Event from a couple years ago that led up to the whole Secret Wars that rebooted the Marvel comic book universe. He visited Doctor Strange and convinced Doctor Strange to summon Shuma-Gorath to Earth. Shuma-Gorath is one of the worst villains in Doctor Strange's lexicon. Like, he's an elder god, basically. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you should totally summon Shuma-Gorath and let him destroy as much of the Earth as possible. And Doctor Strange was like, you're right, I should do that.
That's a great idea.
I should do that. So, anyway... I think he's one of those four. Most likely, just looking at the dude, he's a pretty big guy. My guess is he's probably Black Dwarf, but he could also... I mean, he could be any of the other dudes. And for any,
yeah, with mocap, it's really hard to...
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Hard to tell.
But, I mean, that's Black Dwarf.
Yeah.
He's like Hulk with an axe.
The live chat is all very excited for no more plastic faceless drones or Chitauri. And
yeah.
I agree.
So I totally agree.
If that's the way we're going,
yeah,
I'm very
totally
excited
agree.
As well.
Now,
real characters.
April, you have an idea, and this one goes all the way back to, I believe, Infinity Gauntlet, if I'm
yes.
correct. And
yes.
what's this?
I went back
idea?
Pretty far. Now, this has your theory definitely has a lot of merit because they do mention three other characters. Mm-hmm. But
it's okay, Captain.
He said, "Oh, sorry, Captain.
It's okay.
Sorry.
She falls a lot.
She's very heavy in certain areas.
Yes,
I've noticed.
Yes, she is. Very realistic.
But the thought that I had because he said that a character that is truly evil and he's Thanos's right hand guy. I'm like Angel Devil, who's the devil, but Mephisto. So that's who I kind of thought, but that doesn't necessarily work into the three other characters. I mean, you could just have three other people, but I mean, it makes sense that you would have these other characters, but I would love to see
Mephisto. You know, and maybe
I'd love to see him on a black, on a Moon Knight show or a Ghost Rider show like a Netflix series where Mephisto is like with the Sons of Midnight.
Uh-huh.
That's my dream.
Yeah,
that would be pretty amazing. But Mephisto would work. I mean,
the
question is who has the rights to Mephisto?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to get into the rights idea. Like, I can't tell who owns
if
he's Fox or Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the two. I doubt he's, like, Universal.
Well, but Mephisto
Sony.
If I recall, he goes by several different names other than Mephisto. So he could, in theory, just go by one of the other names.
Could also be Blackheart.
Because that's how they always get around the...
Right.
Say Blackheart, I do believe, was at Lionsgate, and he probably came back with Daredevil, if I remember the rights.
Lionsgate? Really? What a weird...
Right. They're the ones who had the Daredevil
rights.
They still
exist.
Right?
Yeah, they do horror
and
movies.
They did Ghost Rider, I think.
They did back in the day. Or is that New Line? New Line did Blade.
New Line did Blade. I think Lionsgate did... Ghost Rider.
Oh, you guys are good.
Ghost Rider, I think, would own...
Blackheart, because he's a Ghost Rider as a core
Which means they probably owned Mephisto, which means that Marvel would have Mephisto back.
Because Lionsgate gave all their rights back.
Yeah.
Interesting. So maybe Mephisto is an option.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean...
Just a thought.
Just a thought. All right, let's talk very briefly about the bad news that Iron Fist is getting such critically panning reviews. Like, I'm still going to watch it. I'll probably still enjoy parts of it. And let me give you this caveat. They're only reviewing the first half of the season.
It's a long time. Yeah.
It's a long time. They're only reviewing the first seven. The review will, most likely, the criticisms in the first half of the season will apply to the second half. However, I will caution you because with Luke Cage, everyone glowed about it. They were like, oh my God, this might be Marvel's best. And I agreed with them until the middle, until episode seven. And then I was like, this show kind of fell off the rails for me after seven. It's still fun. I still like it. And I'm not saying it's bad. Please don't say that I am, because I'm not.
Yeah.
But it kind of lost me halfway through the season when giant spoiler happens. I don't want to say it in case you haven't seen it. You most likely have seen it, but I don't want to spoil it for you.
Are we not allowed to talk about the actual villains in it? Or
what, in Luke Cage?
Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about anything you want. I just don't want to let on to like that big, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The big thing. Right. Yeah, that big one that thing did, that happens that halfway through.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that the Iron Fist reviewers are like, this is the worst thing ever. Yeah. And then the exact opposite will happen where it's like, oh my God, no, but this second half story, this second half of the season is amazing. It's doubtful, but that's my hope. That's what I'm, well, that's what I'm holding on to.
Honestly, if you look at Daredevil, if you look at, you know, Jessica Jones, if you look at any of them, if you compare the first half to the second half of these stories,
they're all different.
They make a very strong turn at a certain point. So it could, I mean, it could just be a slow burner up until, you know, the end. Like, I thought somebody said something about there wasn't enough mysticism or something in it.
There's not enough kung fu fighting coming from Iron Fist. Yeah, there's plenty from Colleen Wing, from what
I
understand.
Which is going to be great.
And apparently, there's a... this is spoiler light, but apparently there's a second character that comes in the second half of the season who Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick, the two actors who played Danny Rand and Colleen Wing, are excited about, but they can't make that announcement yet. Yeah. I have no idea who that character is. Some people are saying, oh my God, is it Shang-Chi? Other people are saying, oh my God, is it Lai Kung the Thunderer? I think that's his name. Then other people are saying, is it you know, Davos the Steel Serpent? Does that end? Like, and I personally think Davos has to be in it. He's like one of the biggest main villains from the first Iron Fist stories. And he goes hand in hand with the Bride of Nine Spiders and Crane Mother and all that stuff. And I really think that those two are in it. So it could go any direction in the second half, but the first half of the season right now is
getting trashed.
11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
11%. I just want to see him punch a dragon.
Nope. Apparently, there's not going to be Shalom.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yep.
That's where the negative reviews are coming from.
No dragon punching. What are we doing here? What's the point?
But wouldn't you save that though until perhaps? I mean, like,
to reuse a joke I made last week.
If you do a slow burn, it could be in there just later.
I'm trying, Finn
Jones actually said we didn't have the budget to do Shu Lao. Like, he actually said that in an interview. Shu Lao doesn't appear. Now, unless he's like setting us up for surprise, which
would be great. But
fingers crossed, probably not, though.
I also hear, and this is a mild spoiler, that he doesn't wear his Iron Fist suit. And I was hoping for that last third act in the show, last episode, like we've gotten before.
I bet we'll get something.
And I also, like, also said the main thing we were worried about was the lack of fighting we'd heard about. And now that's what we're hearing, even more confirmed. And, like, it's Iron Fist. Like, that's kind of the thing.
One of the reviews that I read that has me most disheartened is that the for a character who learns Kung Fu in a mystical city and thrusts his heart into, like, his fist into the heart of a dragon to absorb his chi, the first half of the season is all corporate intrigue.
It's like, we've got so many shows about that.
It's like, oh, I'm trying to get my corporation back. It's like, okay, well, that's cool, but that's cool, but can you go, like, Kung Fu kick some people and then turn your Iron Fist on? Like that's what I want to watch.
We're all going to watch it. We're all excited. We wanted to get these things out first
just
because we might next week have a lot of negative things to say. We might have a lot of positive things to say. We still love Marvel. We're still here on purpose. I am more concerned than I've been before because of the reviews. And I don't trust critics. I just want to.
And honestly, if this falls apart, it's the first stumble.
And that's
true. How much you want to bet, though, that they might be trying to pull in, like, you know, House of Cards kind of audience and stuff like that wouldn't necessarily be into comic books, But that's you fair, lead them but... into, like, you know, this intrigue kind of, mm-hmm. like, you know, thing, and then slowly introduce the mysticism. I'm trying to be positive here. I'm just which saying I appreciate. That they could be trying to bring in a new audience. You don't know.
I'm just saying if you spend 12 episodes collecting the Dragon Balls, you should at least punch the dragon at the end. That's all I want.
I write for...
Need to go Super Saiyan, goddammit.
At some point, I want to see Superman in the shoulder pads.
I write for Geek Girl Authority every morning. And I wrote about the bad reviews and no Shu Lao, mm-hmm. the Undying yesterday, and how disappointed I was. And the last thing I put in there is it's like doing a documentary on how to make pancakes, but not putting syrup on there. Like,
aww.
Yes,
a lot of stuff.
That is sad.
It's pancakes. Some pancakes are delicious, and I'm excited for pancakes, but not without syrup.
It's like when you're really drunk, you go through the drive-thru and you forget ketchup and you just got those fries and they're cold at that point. Yeah. You're a little too drunk to want them. There's no ketchup. Do you eat them? I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about because I just turned 21.
So. Oh, right. Yeah. When you're old enough.
When I'm old enough. Important. All right, so.
Also, you're the passenger. Don't drink and drive, kids.
I'm 23. Yeah. I totally know what you're talking about.
I want to say, and we brought it up a couple of times, but last week and talking about Logan, you weren't here for this. So you're excused from this.
I also haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen Logan?
No, I haven't. I know. I just haven't.
It's okay.
We get weird criticism for how much we loved it. I was like reading the YouTube.
Did we really?
The YouTube comments are like, it's not like the second coming of Christ, and they don't like Marvel now because they love Fox and all this stuff. And I was like, we can like.
Yeah,
more
you can like both.
Thing.
It's okay.
And that's what I wanted to address.
I hate those people that are like, you know, like, oh, which one are you? I'm like, I like both.
I don't hate anyone, but I judge everyone.
I'm bi-nerdy. Leave me alone. Okay? God, respect my choices.
Yeah, you can like them.
But I did.
Taylor looks amazing.
I did want to address that real quick and just say, we saw those comments. We still love Marvel. I still love Marvel. Like, I will bleed Marvel till the rest, like, till I die. Like. Mm-hmm. If someone comes up, if God himself, God herself, God themselves were to come down and say, hey, Marvel's the worst thing ever, I would say, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
That's great.
Buddha.
You are cast into the fiery depths of hell. All right, I'm cool. Do they have Netflix there?
Can I watch Marvel there?
Yeah. Great. Excellent. Great. Let's do this.
I just want to remind everyone that we love Marvel. We're Marvel movie news.
We spend many hours a week gathering this to give, and then hours here, and then more time, and then the Twitter. We love it. It's our life.
Yeah. Logan, however,
is in my top three of the Marvel pantheon.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And Logan possibly changed the game.
Right.
It very much did. And if Marvel Studios is smart, they're listening, and I think that they are. I think they're paying attention to it. I don't think that means they're going to do anything rated R anytime soon. They've got their family-friendly universe.
And I like that.
And I'm fine with that. I love that. But I do think that could maybe in the future impact box office numbers. It could impact future decisions of what to do versus what not to do. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's changed the game, and it's made me nervous, but we don't hate Marvel. In fact, I'm nervous because I love Marvel so much.
Right. I just wanted to address, I didn't want to like give haters too much time or credence. I just wanted to address that anyone that thought we were being positive at the sake of negativity, I didn't want to misrepresent how we were going through it. It was just that I never thought I would feel the way about a superhero film I felt about Logan ever.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way about Dark Knight when I first watched it. I felt the same way about Iron Man the first time I watched it. I've had an evolution as a film goer, as a comic reader, and as a comic film goer that has now reached a new peak with Logan, and that needs that credit. It needs that sensibility, and I'm only more excited going forward. I'm only more excited to do more of this for you, with you, but that also set a new bar for me, just like Daredevil did. Daredevil changed the game for me.
Yeah.
Games change constantly.
You're also calling it like you're seeing it at the time, so it's like, what is this compared to what is going on at the time? So if it's largely negative towards one thing, it's maybe because at the time that's not so great.
and the fact that, like, and to go, like you're saying, bi-nerdy, Wonder Woman's fight scenes look like the best thing I've seen. Like, Wonder Woman's fight scenes look...
The training scenes? And
all three
that
of those trailers had new, cool fight scenes, and that's what I loved about Logan, was the fight scenes felt new and different. Wonder Woman feels new and different. That's when we're at Iron Fist is like, it's a kung fu show. Show me some kung fu.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm with you. I want to be fair and balanced.
All right. So thank you for listening to us defend ourselves. not that I even think it was necessary. I don't want anyone to feel like we're alienating them or that we've suddenly changed and now we hate everything that Marvel's ever done. I saw some comments like that. Not that at all. I just want to address
that. Can't have positive opinions all the time.
And by the way, no, those aren't. We didn't really have. Negative. We had nothing really negative to say about Logan. And we didn't have anything negative to say about Marvel. We were just like, oh, this changed the game. How does that work? How's the future look now? So
if we did the show in the 70s, we'd have had to talk about Captain America with ears on his mask, and that would have been a conversation we'd had to have.
But we would have had to talk about that awful TV movie with Doctor Strange.
We would have had to talk about Generation X, the TV pilot. But luckily, we started
well, not
more
the
recently.
70s, like early 90s.
That was a dark time. Dark time for everyone.
All right, Thor Ragnarok. It's time for our main story. So we've heard rumors about what the plot would entail, but this is the very first time the plot has been confirmed by a major news source who spoke with like Kevin Feige and all the director and everything, saying this is legitimately what's going on. So here's the plot as we now understand it 100%. At the end of Age of Ultron, Thor was like, I'm going to go find out who this purple guy in the chair is. Then we saw him during the Civil War, like all the jokes that he made, that video that Taika Waititi made where he's like, who's this man in the purple chair? Mm-hmm. So we saw
everybody
those.
Else is like, whatever, he's like, this guy.
This guy. So we also got a lot of new images.
Good images.
Great images. Hydra Steve, why don't you run through those real quick while I'm saying this, and then we'll address them like individually later. Thank you, Hydra Steve. So as he's like running around the universe, he hears that his brother Loki is actually causing trouble in Asgard, which I'm sure has got to be surprising to him. that Odin is missing, and that as he gets back, he discovers that Loki's rather lax, that's the way they say in the article, his rather lax governing of Asgard has led to Hela's reemergence. She's been imprisoned, probably due to the Odin force. Like, Odin was probably actually using his power to keep her in prison, because she's a very powerful person. There she is, Kate Blanchett. Yeah. She's very powerful in her own right. She's now escaped. And in the very first interaction Thor has with her, he's like, oh, no, not Hela. She's like, to Sakaar, blast, and he, like, disappears.
See ya.
Peace. I think that's how they say it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm 21. I'm very new to language. I realized, like, me saying that, I just insulted every 21-year-old, which is not what I intended to do.
Like, every 21-year-old.
Learn to speak at 20. It's been very confusing. I'm trying to piece it all together.
Hey, 21-year-old babies.
He's been engaged longer than he can talk. He's been doing the show. Oh, it's been a thing. It explains the intro that he's
very,
devil,
very
devil.
Strange. I did not intend to insult people under the age of 22. That was not my intention.
It's
funny. You're all intelligent.
Those skibbity bops are him just failing at language.
Yeah, exactly.
We were
still learning language.
Made fun of by our parents. Just get used to it.
Wait, I'm not every audience member's parent. Man, you are.
Saying. Hey, we are parent age, dude.
We are. Oh.
We know people that have babies. Like, on purpose. Like, remember back in the day when it wasn't on purpose? Yeah. Like, now it's on purpose.
Now it's on purpose. Now it's a choice.
Fences and doors they own and blocks.
Oh, yeah.
All right, back to the summary.
Deadbolts.
Hela blasts Thor to Sakaar. Sakaar is described as a barbaric planet ruled by the charming but nefarious Grandmaster, which is basically just like a description of almost every character Jeff Goldblum's ever played. So they were like, Jeff Goldblum, we need you to report to set. Here, put this on and play yourself with these lines.
No. Jeff Goldblum had all that. You know?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum just reported the set. Someone took pictures like, all right, we're good. found a way.
Life found a way.
This image needs more love, guys. That is just everything I wanted it to be.
I love that.
This was the first we've seen
much.
Of the Grandmaster, and it is grandmasterful.
It is grandmaster indeed. Valkyrie ends up, it turns out she works for the Grandmaster on the planet of Sakaar. She's described in the article as a tough, hard-drinking warrior. This got no news, but I find this very interesting. She's hiding out on Sakaar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why she's hiding out. I want to know why she's hiding out. That's interesting to me. We'll talk about that
twist.
Later. She ends up bringing Thor to Grandmaster because she thinks it could be interesting. I think Thor's trying to hide. She's like, you're Thor. Hey, come with me. Grandmaster, check this guy out. He should fight in the fights. Thor is a bit of a fanboy for the Valkyrie, the elite women warriors.
I love that.
Thor is actually like thunderstruck. He's like, oh my god, you're a Valkyrie.
Yes, I'll follow you.
May
anywhere.
I have your autograph?
Can
like
Thor be thunderstruck?
Of course he can. Like all the time.
It's self-inflicted thunderstriking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly the noise he makes. Yeah. Thor has to become a gladiator. He's forced into gladiatorial servitude, I think is the phrase. Sakaar's most popular gladiator is Hulk. This is very interesting, and I'm sure our old engineer Doom would love this since he's such a big Hulk fan. He's Hulk, described by Mark Ruffalo. He's much more of a character than the Green Rage Machine you've seen in the Avengers movies. He's got swagger. He's like a god.
I'm happy about that.
I cannot wait to see this Hulk. Like, this is going to be great.
I like when Hulk has personality. Yeah. Like, they've kind of hinted at little bits of personality with him, but he's just been,
He had the smirk in Age of Ultron for a second. That was awesome. Mark Ruffalo handles, like, all of that well. Yeah. And, like, I want to see Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk more and more and more.
Yeah. But here, so imagine that wonderful bit in Avengers where, like, we all knew we loved the movie, but then they did that one extra mile where Loki stood up to Hulk and he's like, I am a god. He's smash, 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 smash. Puny god. The way he walks away.
Yeah.
That's this entire movie for the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, puny god. Yeah. Like, just walking around like he owns the planet.
Strutting. Do you think that they're going to address it all, like, the piece, like, that, the normal character versus Hulk has actually Bruce Banner has talked to the Hulk. Like, they've kind of, like, the Hulk's like, dude, I need to take over right now. I get to that. This is not not your area. Like, do you think they'll address that at all?
It's interesting because I believe in Planet Hulk, if I remember the story, it's been a couple years, but if I remember the story correctly, at one point, Hulk is knocked out or something happens where, like, the Hulk fades away and Bruce Banner actually appears. Mm. And he's been a rock star in this planet. Everyone knows him is what is his name?
Green
Meanie.
The Green Meanie, that's what it is, of course. They all know him by some, like, Green Valley. I don't know. Yeah, that's it. They're like, we love green beans on this planet. See, this is what happens when there's no computer in front of me.
We love green beans on this planet. I was just saying Green Monster in my head over and over again because Fenway, but green Monster. They call him the Green Monster. Monster.
Yeah. God, I wish I could remember. It's a great name. It's a fun name. But when he, like, when Hulk subsides into this puny pink human, they're all like, what the what? Like, no, we're following this guy? So that could be interesting. The other thing to consider is Bruce Banner giving up control of their presence together, of the body, due to, oh my god, if I come out, we will die?
Yeah.
Or is the Hulk just so powerful on this planet because he has free range to do, like, WTF he wants?
That he has room to actually, like, he's not being suppressed anymore.
He's no longer being suppressed. Bruce Banner's not as eager to come out.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's kind of a tension between those two things. Bruce Banner, like, actually, the big guy has to be out, and the Hulk being like, "I can do everything here. This is fun." Like,
and that's the strut swagger,
the green scar.
Thank you. That's it. Thank you. Was that in the live chat?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Scott Fitzgerald.
And gets Jeff a song.
Thank you,
Scott Fitzgerald. And who?
Jeff 2886.
Jeff 2886.
I was looking it up too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Planet Hulk. Where is it?
They both get Scott Stapp shout outs. Yeah.
Oh, God, okay, what was that? I know.
I was like,
right over here. Yeah, there it is.
They're loving your singing.
Oh, good.
We're ruining your whole name with that jazz hire. They're
there for songs, you guys. We can take you higher.
Songs for days. Stop. Get out. You get out. So you get the fights. You get Hulk and Thor fighting each other. But the second they discover that they're each on this planet, comes a road trip. They somehow get off the planet. My guess is that Valkyrie goes with them somehow. Comes a cosmic road trip. They eventually get back to Earth where Doctor Strange helps them find Odin. So this is the first. This is where Doctor Strange comes into the story. And Feige teases, there's not a whole lot that takes place on Earth in this film, and this is one of those things that does. So, like,
I'm glad that they don't have a whole lot on Earth.
No, I'm glad. And, like, the movies are more and more getting off of Earth or the Earth that we know. Like, with Black Panther, it's like, it's not the Earth, it's Wakanda. Like,
it is Earth, but it's Wakanda.
It's Earth, but it's not an Earth that we recognize. Like, we've never been there.
It's an area people don't get to go to.
Yeah. I don't know if this is big news. I think we all kind of assume this, but the events of Thor Ragnarok will also help set up Marvel's biggest Phase 3 installment, Avengers Infinity War. That is as Entertainment Weekly says it. So Waititi insists, a lot of what we're doing with the film is, in a way, kind of dismantling and destroying the old idea and rebuilding it in a new way that's fresh. Everyone's got a slightly new take on their characters, so in that way, it feels like this is the first Thor.
So that sounds even more like fun. Hulk getting, oh, that too, but Hulk being more aware, more intelligent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds more like Thor losing his hammer. That sounds more like Doctor Strange being all the way Doctor Strange. That sounds like everything full on we want strange, for things to change. I mean, I'm excited about, yeah, exactly, all the good things. Plus Jeff Goldblum.
Plus Goldblum. So,
does anybody remember back in the 80s when Jeff Goldblum was actually like a sex icon? Do you remember those movies? Remember, the 80s movies?
What, like, Earth Girls Are Easy? And like, he was in Dracula, The Fly.
I also remember March 14th, 2017, when Jeff Goldblum was a hexagon, because he's Jeff Goldblum, and that him breathing shirtless.
Before he was like, Jeff Goldblum.
You go see
like,
him just play jazz in Los Feliz. You tell me he's not.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He does. I still need to make my way out there.
Why do you say all the stuff that they have, like, you know, the, oh, Jeff Goldblum, like, you know, stuff that they have is just very jokey, but it's like, remember, he used to be like a freaking icon.
Pheromone incarnate, that guy. That guy winks at you, you melt. It happens.
I wish we had time to tell. Like, I never met the man, but I have an old friend who did, and he's got a great story about Jeff Goldblum's memory being the best memory.
He remembers everyone he meets.
Yeah,
like, he's smart as hell.
Yeah, so I don't have time to tell because we need to get through the news.
Sorry,
because real good. Know that Jeff Goldblum is the greatest.
Yeah, he's like a legitimately nice guy. He does jazz in Los Feliz with his own jazz club, jazz band.
How charming Ryan Gosling is in La La Land, but for real.
But for real, yeah.
but for real.
So let's move on real quick. So first of all, there's the description. Do you guys have any other thoughts that we didn't talk about? Like,
need more Goldblum.
Gotta have more Goldblum.
Is Deadpool in it?
No.
Okay. Then I'm good.
So, Thor Ragnarok reveals new details about Planet Hulk ties. Let me see here. Sakaar is basically where every wormhole across the universe dumps out its trash. So you get people from all walks of life with all sorts of incredible abilities and powers. No one cares what Prince or King Thor may have been in another world. His strength is pretty easily matched by pretty much everyone on this planet.
And that's
that
also
sounds
great.
Like fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll make it more of a movie than Thor 1 and 2 allowed really to be.
Just the fun pouring off of it. Just
this is so much fun. Just like,
it's like a shower of fun.
Shower in that fun. Fun shower.
Have we talked about how Cate Blanchett looks like every girl I had a crush on in high school yet? Or
No, we have not. But Hydra Bob, can we see there's a great picture of her. Can we see
she
the other
looks
one?
She looks like Liv Tyler in that one, though, isn't it?
Funny? A little bit. Yeah,
she looks like my type.
Tyler-esque. Yeah, that other picture. No, that's Tessa Thompson.
Also my type.
And Tessa Thompson looks amazing as Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And she was saying that on one of the first days of filming, Taika Waititi came up and was like, Linda Hamilton in Terminator, that's what he wanted for her.
Yes.
So she's like, I guess I better work out more. So like the entire movie, she's like doing, you know, like 10 to 15 pull-ups every single day and like doing all of her push-ups and everything to get into shape. And I just think that's great.
And Tessa Thompson, have you seen Creed?
Yes, I did.
Her and Creed, the female lead, she
killed it. She was great.
Everyone in that movie, we've talked about it before, Marvel, just like everyone in Creed. But I had no exposure to Tessa Thompson. Yeah. And with that one movie, I was like, oh, Valkyrie, that made total sense. I was like, that's
same with
perfect.
Me. Same with me. Yeah, this is, Cate Blanchett looks good.
Yeah.
She looks good.
I'm
very Evanescence, you know. Bring me to life.
Let's turn to a new metal show. I'm about it, man.
Except it's like bring me to death.
I was about to say, I was like, but she's like the goddess of death.
I beat you to
it. Bring me back to death. I can see Josh Brolin and Ryan Reynolds fighting over that girl. I see it.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see about what's going to go on with.
Oh,
the,
so speaking
the
of, let's talk about Cate Blanchett really, really quickly. She revealed some new details about her role. Hela's been locked away for millennia, getting more and more cross, and then, with a mistake, she gets unleashed, and she ain't getting back in that box.
Oh,
so,
right.
I do want to point out that this is the first major female villain that we've had. Cate Blanchett addressed that, saying, you believe it? Can you believe we're having this conversation, and it's 2017, and we're talking about the first female villain? It's ridiculous. There's so much untapped potential villainy in women. It's really exciting. I think finally it's beginning to be acknowledged that women and men want to see a diverse array of characters, and that's race, gender, across the sexual spectrum. So,
and we're getting a female villain in Defenders.
Defenders.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So I think worth noting that we're getting a 1-2 punch in March.
I agree. Like she said, about time. Mm-hmm. About damn time.
And Gamer Girl mentions we still have new pictures of Executioner, which is Carl Urban, who's also in this movie.
And he is shaved his head for it,
Everyone's in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this Thor movie.
It's like I said last year after Comic-Con, and you were in Hall H, so you can maybe echo these sentiments. if Doctor Strange had not been coming out and he had not been like my all-time favorite character of all time, mm-hmm. Thor Ragnarok would be the one I was most excited about.
Yeah.
I get
like,
it.
Honestly, based that on whole the lineup was amazing, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
But it was on par with everything else, because actually I would think that that was probably the one that people were kind of the least excited about.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Seeing,
totally
and
agreed.
And then everybody was, it was just strong all the way across the board. Yeah. Every single thing that they showed, people were just like blown away.
Because there's no argument that Guardians of the Galaxy was stronger than Thor. So, like, to have this be as much hype as Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
yeah.
And I think Guardians of the Galaxy is an A film. It's near, it's perfect, it's everything. Yeah. So to have this be just look just as good is showing how much they're changing the game for the sake of this being great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad. It seems like they're excited for the actual movie and not just what mm-hmm. it's bringing mm-hmm. and what it's representing for the future of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So because, you know, it's leading us, this is like the, you know, flagship into a new, you know, era mm-hmm. of the movies mm-hmm. and stuff. So, and I think people are excited for that, but not necessarily the movie itself. And now that we're starting to see stuff, I think people are starting to change
get a little bit excited. Yeah. And like Taika Waititi said, like this is completely new for all of these characters, like mm-hmm. like they're utilizing Hemsworth's comedy chops a little mm-hmm. bit more. He's playing like kind of a weird straight man kind of character, a little dopey or dumb. I don't know. Like
he was so funny in Ghostbusters.
He was great in Ghostbusters. He was really funny.
I hated that character so much.
No, he was. I don't know if it was a great character, but like he was funny at it. Character.
Like how he's so dumb. It was like, how do you get through a door, dumb? Like
yeah. But so he played it very well.
He played it very well.
He played it very well. Like, and that's what we're talking about is his portrayal of it. I mean, for all the problems that movie had, like all the acting was great. Like,
I
love the women. I hope that they get another chance to prove themselves. Like, it was the script and the directing.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad that he lost the hair.
Really?
Because the hair was kind of a distraction. Honestly, I mean, and you can. I know that it's very iconic, Thor. I get it, but he's already. He is Thor. You can look at him and be like, oh, that's Thor without the freaking hair. You know what I mean? He doesn't necessarily have to have the giant red cape and the helmet and the and the hair. We know he's Thor. He acts like Thor. He talks like Thor.
Right. I see that. All right. Yeah.
I think you don't need those anymore. And if anything, I think it was getting really distracting because, even in the Avengers, I was talking about this earlier with you, that you see, like, Thor, and then you see everybody else, all these, like, you know, puny humans and stuff, and this big blonde guy, you know, comes in, he talks funny, he walks funny, he doesn't really get what's going on. He was kind of a big laughable, like, dork. Seriously, kind of.
I'm laughing because you're not... unright.
Yeah.
I think that helps too because, like, now that he's lost his hair, it's like he's on the bottom of the barrel. So it's like, because he's on Sakaar, and so it's like, it's like symbolic, you know, losing your hair.
Like, and we get Thor proving himself kind of too because he's just like, I'm a god, I'm here, I'm doing this, I control thunder, da da da. Like, now it's like, oh crap, there's a ton of other like super powerful people here that don't think I'm a god.
And they don't care.
And they don't care.
Everyone's just as strong.
They will cut me.
Exactly.
Like,
so I'm excited about that because I actually love Thor. So mm-hmm.
and,
I'm excited
no
to
Mjolnir.
See.
He what? Has Mjolnir stripped away from him.
Oh, that sucks.
So all he has are the two swords and the shield
really
that he's given.
He's really got to prove himself.
He's really got to prove himself on a planet of equals.
Yes.
Which
I'm excited for.
I'm really excited for it. Because between him and Hulk, they're both so strong on Earth where it's like, well, yeah, of course you guys win.
Yeah,
and with
transition.
Escalation, you need to have that change.
Yeah, exactly.
The
so I'm excited for it.
These two characters, I'm so excited to
see. Real quick, want to touch on Tessa Thompson teasing Dragon Fang, her sword. She says Valkyrie has a business relationship with Goldblum's character. She finds Thor, brings Thor to the Grandmaster, thinking he might be of interest, being Thor the one of interest. She says she's such a badass that she doesn't need a lot of metal to protect her. It's mostly leather. She wields two daggers, which are sort of attached to her, and she has a very special sword.
Mm-hmm.
And the special sword is either the Ebony Blade or Dragon Fang. Both of them are unbreakable due to mystical enchantments.
Yeah.
Except Dragon Fang was made from a cosmic dragon.
Yeah. Well, and it's also invisible when you have it, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I think so.
It's just like, you don't, you're not going to know until she pulls that shit out.
But the what's fun about it is that both of those swords have at some point crossed the path of Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Which I'm excited about.
Which also excites me because he's in the movie. So there's a part of me is like, wait, does she have the Ebony Blade? But then she loses it, so then she gets to Earth.
And he's
then
like,
Doctor Strange is like, well, I've got the dragon thing. It belonged to the ancient one.
I'm hoping there's some weapon up scene.
One of your predecessors gave it to me. Oh, so while we're on the subject of Valkyrie, she's hiding out. I think she might be hiding out because Hela has escaped. Because the Valkyrie, here's why. The Valkyrie in Thor in Norse mythology, but also somewhat loosely in Marvel mythology, they're responsible for like kind of guarding the afterworld and ushering the honored fallen to Valhalla. So like if you fall in battle and you died like a valiant death,
the Valkyrie comes and
the
gets
Valkyrie
you.
Comes and pulls your sword to Valhalla where you can drink mead for the rest of your life with other elite warriors. And they are elite warriors in and of themselves. But they also, I think, are like guardians of the underworld. My guess is that maybe they were put there by Odin and sort of like powered by Odin in some way, like with the Odin Force. And then with him gone and like off his rocker because Loki like exiled him. He's like, you don't know who you are. You're on Earth. You're a hobo. Like whatever. He's gone.
Oh, God.
Is that a
phone? I'm a pro. Look at me doing it. Look at that. First one in maybe 2 years. Sorry.
Oh, if we can link that to American Gods, wouldn't that be amazing?
I think she's hiding out because Hela is out, and she's like, you've been guarding me? Like, I think it's like maybe that. So she's hiding out on Sakaar from Hela. And then Thor shows up, and she's like, oh, damn. I don't want to be discovered by Asgard. And, like, it's other interviews have said, like, she's wants nothing to do with Asgard anymore. So, and I think that might be part of it. Anyway... let's talk to our Marvelites. Oliver, is there anyone that we need to shout out to or anyone I need to sing to?
First off, we have to shout out Koi's mom in the chat.
Mama Jandro.
Yay!
So nice. She's your biggest fan.
Yeah, I can't argue.
Everyone's talking to her. She's a fan favorite.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Paul Jones, Stephen Woods on Twitter.
What's up, guys? Paul Jones, and who was the other one?
Stephen Woods.
Stephen Woods!
Also, someone brought up a good point about Nathan Fillion and how he's already in Guardians of the Galaxy, if that has something to do with his casting. I'm not sure.
Does he have a different character than the big alien with the things up the nose?
But also, like, I guess that doesn't really matter because Alfre Woodard, who was in Civil War, and she's also
played
in Luke
two roles,
Cage, so I guess something to think about, but I don't know. Gamer Girl, she also wants the headdress. Shout out to you. I see you all the time in the chat.
Gamer Girl's the best. She's great.
She's
we love Gamer Girl. And by the headdress, Hela does say that, like, I forgot to pull that quote. I apologize. But she made mention that at some point she does actually
magically
manifest it. Yeah, so...
I want to shout out Langley. He's in the hospital. And
Langley!
Oh, yes.
No, get better, Neely.
I saw his tweet earlier. I put it in the rundown.
They got him to, they got the laptop hookup in the hospital so he could watch live with us. So he's been in the live chat.
Langley!
That's thanks awesome. For joining us, man. Feel better.
Langley Neely, get better.
Love songs,
I can't sing, but do get better.
Anyone can sing the way I do. That is not a talent.
Welcome to Marvel Music News.
Hey!
Marvel Music News.
But Langley, for real, get better. That's not, like, that sucks. Like, get better, man. Get out of there. Get better. Come back to us as soon as you can. We should have him on the show. He's in Los Angeles.
Is he?
I think so.
Dude, Langley, if you're here, be here.
Yeah, Langley, let us know.
Right
Langley,
there,
let
dude.
Us know.
When you're able, of course.
You can sit next to, when you're able, but
next
when you're...
Juggernaut and Apocalypse.
Juggernaut and Apocalypse will guard you, Langley.
We haven't had a Cosmic Couch guest in a while.
We haven't, but we've got one coming in.
That's a thing. That's
a he's
and Aaron Wilkerson, we're still going to have you in. So, Aaron, there's a spot for you as well.
Right.
So we got to do those.
Any more from the live chat?
Daniel Drew on Twitter. He's awesome. He's tweeting me all the time on Popcorn Talk Network.
Yeah, he says he's watching this week's episode, and then he gave a smiley face.
He is the most, like, his weekly polls are, you keep Marvel afloat, sir.
Yeah, so, just you by yourself,
I am very impressed with your, because I used to buy every single book that I read, and now I do some digital because of space. You get every book, and dude.
Yeah, you're probably better read than I am at this point.
It's impressive.
Ramon Garza, great fun show today. Darnell Morris, another great show. Thank you. Calvin Fisher, great show. We love all three of you guys. Thank you for thinking our show is great. We think you're great. Twitter, you said Daniel Drew. Yeah, do you have anyone?
I got Jay Tesla in the live chat. Their birthday is Thursday. Happy birthday,
what's
Jay
their
Tesla.
Name?
Jay Tesla.
Jay Tesla, happy birthday.
And frequent live chat commentator Scott Fitzgerald's birthday is March 27th. Scott's
general.
Happy birthday. I like the singing shout outs very much. It is also my lady friend Sheena's birthday today. I had to leave her birthday merriment to come here to the show. So I'm going to go back after and take her to dinner and stuff. But happy birthday, Sheena.
That's very nice of you. You going to take her to iPix, see a movie?
I got a surprise. What am I going to say? Because just in case she's watching. But I almost said it, then I was like, but we did watch Beauty and the Beast, the classic one, last night. It was pretty cool.
In preparation.
Fun. It's a good little setup for them,
That movie pre-sale setting records. Like, it's going to be huge. I don't know if it's going to be game-changing. It's going to be huge, though.
I mean, I think live action... Jungle Book did crazy numbers.
I
think Adam got to see it, and he said that it was he hadn't seen the original, but he liked
Wait,
it.
Adam Halabi has not seen the original animated Beauty and the Beast?
I know, he's from Mars.
Guest today hasn't seen Logan, so I don't know.
All right, Logan.
But Beauty and the Beast has been out since, what, 93? No, it's like 93.
93 isn't.
Yeah, right. I think Lion King is 94. Get Best Animated, didn't get Best Picture. No animated film's ever won Best Picture.
Someday.
Crossing our fingers. Questions. Mohammed Bakas from at MBakes. Let's see. Which X-Men character do you want to see the most? The most obscure, the better. Want to see Marrow.
For like Gifted. What character do you want to see in Gifted?
Oh, and Gifted.
Yeah, if you can choose.
Multiple Man, 1,000 times over. I would see Jamie Madrox.
Multiple Man.
I would see a series just about him.
Jamie Madrox is incredible. Everyone wants that musical live episode, by the way.
You do not.
Like that episode of Buffy where we just break into song.
Yeah, I got one more with feeling, my favorite episode.
Easy. I think the character that will never get in the movies is the one I want. I love Chamber just because he's angsty and he's so 90s.
He's like the embodiment of the 90s.
As you can tell, I like the characters no one likes, except for Deadpool. But no, I like Chamber, and I also would cast someone that no one likes either. I think Robert Pattinson would be a great Chamber.
Oh, he would be a
Wouldn't
good
he?
Chamber.
Like,
he actually
angsty
would be.
And just the eyes, and he could play something else, and he's like British and everything. It'd be great. Yeah.
Well, they've done a lot of my favorite characters already, kind of.
So do you have an obscure character?
I'd like to see Morph.
Oh my god, you pulled Morph.
Yeah. I'd like to see Morph.
Oh my god.
Because he goes kind of crazy. So.
You may as well say, I would like to see Cypher. Like, wow. Well, good pull. Mohammed Bakes, Bakes. I apologize. I'm not making fun. It's one of those two, I'm guessing. I hope we answered your question.
Beauty and the Beast was 91, and Lion King was 94. Thank you, live chat. Betsy, Xeno Hour. Musical episode's coming next week. Matt Key confirms.
No, he didn't.
I will not be there for that one. No, I'll be the guest on the couch so I can sit there and laugh.
Kid Nova at KidNova220 says, I absolutely love this show. I watch it every week, and I was wondering, am I the only person who wants an initiative TV show? Remember the Avengers Initiative followed Civil War? I don't know that you're the only one.
I'm sure
I don't know.
Yeah. Why not?
I can't speak for the entire world, but I can say I've never thought of it. Like, if they were to make one, I would be intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm. I really want a Spider-Woman TV show. Now that the new title has her as a mom, I'm really enjoying, like, her having to go, like, run around and then come back to do mom stuff and having, like, her, like, life mate partner guy to take care of the baby and, like, the guy's the nanny and the girl's the hero, and I like that role reversal and it's actually showing equality instead of making one star and the other's dope. And then having, like, a mom superhero in the comics. That wouldn't work in a movie.
Yeah.
It'd work in a TV show.
Yeah.
So that's what I want for the next
show. You know what? If you want, like, a team TV show, just going along those lines, I would love to see Great Lakes Avengers.
Ooh.
Like, I see Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
She's in the Great Lakes Avengers. Like, GLA. Yeah. It would be great. But Squirrel Girl, the flat guy, I think his name is just Flat Man. Immortal Man who, like, he has no power except that he can't die. So, like, you shoot him and he's like, oh! And then, like, he comes back, he's like, ah! He's got no other power.
The weirdest show.
The worst.
Like,
and there's
a
big, there's Big Bertha.
That's an episode I watched, though.
There's Big Bertha, who is an actual, like, really attractive supermodel. She's, like, known the entire world over. But her superpower is that she can, like...
expand and
contract. She expands, like, to, like, a one-ton, really, like, stupendously, tremendously overweight person.
That's awesome.
And she's super strong when she does that.
Yeah.
So
she's like a female blob.
Yeah, yeah, she really is. Big Bertha is like a female blob.
Except you don't like, you know, punching your arms.
So Anyway, Langley and Ely, get better. That's our show. Yes,
Someone in the live chat just asked me who I would want for Logan if they go recast. I want X-23. If that doesn't happen, I love Edgar Ramirez for Logan for some reason. I think Edgar Ramirez would be so good.
Where's he from?
I'm not familiar
with him.
He was in Hands of Stone, that boxing movie. He was in the new Point Break. I want him to do better things. He's a very good actor.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Edgar Ramirez, I think it'd be a really good Logan. And I think that's all the time we have for questions.
Yeah, there's a lot. So your book?
Yes, 13 Offerings on Amazon.
Yeah?
Yes, it's an anthology novel. It's much fun.
Great, okay. And at April Wallin?
Yep.
W-A-H-L-I-N.
Yep, keep it simple.
Say hi to Adam for us.
Hello, Adam. Oh, I will when you see him. He hides out in the back room, and he comes out just randomly, to make himself food, and then just disappears
again. So halavik. That's so halavik. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
He makes a comment and then leaves. And I'm like, oh,
that is
nice
so seeing. Adam.
Hi, bye. All right.
So Adam, just to make comments. So Adam. Coy, CoyjanDreau.
My mom's giving dirt on me in the last
time. So far, she's only sleepwalking. This one time, peanut butter in the middle of the night.
That's true. I still do, but I pretend I'm sleepwalking. That's just an excuse to eat peanut butter, but it used to start as an accident. I am on Twitter and Instagram at that very letter series, and I will be on another. There's two podcasts that I can't say that I'm doing, but they will be one on the 18th and one on the 23rd, and I'm very excited about doing both of them. So the 18th.
When can you announce it?
I'm going to announce it on the day because I'm going to be a guest surprise on one of them.
Cool.
And then the other one I've done before, hint, hint, and it's a certain championship competition that'll be on the 23rd that I'm excited about. So.
Skip it, dip it out.
Keep an eye out. Internet.
Oliver.
You can follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer, and we can talk about Chris Hemsworth working out for the role of Thor, because that was beautiful. I don't know if you guys saw that. I'm sorry. I just had to bring it up.
Thank you for bringing it up.
Made me feel bad about my body, but...
I like the brain part things that you got going on, too.
Don't watch workout videos because I just cry at myself.
Yeah. I cry inside.
I cry outwardly. It's a thing. I am at the Matt Key on Twitter. I'm trying to figure out how Instagram works. I'll be on there eventually. My wife, Brittany, really thinks that I should do an Instagram.
I think I should.
I agree with her. It's just like, I get home and then I do taxes and I forget what I was supposed to be doing.
How long do you do taxes?
Every day, and that way it keeps me accountable. So I have a visual journal. So if I don't do something exciting by 9 o'clock, I go out and do. It's awesome. It's like a visual representation.
And I want to do something like that, but I just, I don't even remember to set Instagram up. Then it's already too late. And I was like, oh, I've got 70 other things to do right now.
See, that's why you take pictures of things when you can and then you post them later.
Right, I post like 2 days.
I don't even have an Instagram set up, and I keep
just take photos of things and then you can set it up later. It's not that hard.
But I stress myself out because I have to think of what's my name? What am I going
to
call myself?
Yeah, the internet being 21, it's very new.
Yeah,
I get that.
I still language. Tomorrow, very exciting news. I'm leading the conversation on the Wednesday Club over on Geek and Sundry's Twitch channel. And we are talking about Doctor Strange, because that's what the fans want. Well, that's my first time leading the conversation, so I wanted to kind of ease myself into it. Yeah. So we're leading that conversation. If you want to hear me deep dive for 2 hours on Doctor Strange, we're talking Peter Gillis Strange Tale, Strange Tales from the mid-90s. Uh-huh. And Doctor Strange, becoming a god and losing his eye and fighting Shuma Gorath. We're talking that level of deep diving.
Sounds about right.
I'm going to be doing that tomorrow with Amy Dallin. Talison won't be there. And then we're also going to use that to jump into, just magic and comics in general. Brother Voodoo, Dr. Fate, stuff like that. So that'll be on Geek and Sundry's Twitch tomorrow. I write for Geek and Sundry, Geek Girl Authority every morning. And then I'm on Screen Junkies from time to time. I write for them in the mornings. And
very
I'm
busy
there on
man.
Mondays and Fridays, yeah. So, anyway, that's our show. Thanks for listening to us drone on in these last couple minutes. And we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Go listen to some Creed.
Cheers.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.